Let us look together at Psalm 128. This is the psalm that we just sang, and we want to look at it now in inspiration. Many years ago, we started a survey of the book of Psalms, and it's been very piecemeal. Sometimes we go many months without making an installment, but we have worked our way up to this point in the book of Psalms, Psalm 128, a song of degrees. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. This is another of the songs of degrees, probably sung or intended to be sung when the people of Israel from other cities and regions would approach Jerusalem for the annual feasts. As they ascended the mountain, coming up to Jerusalem, or even the outlying mountains coming to Jerusalem, it was a time of anticipation. You can almost hear the young children saying, "Are we there yet? How much farther?" The adults, no doubt, anticipating the feast, the festive occasion, with great joy and anticipation. They would come counting their blessings, thinking about how merciful and how good God is to his people. And this psalm before us is one that certainly fits that description. It begins with the word blessed. You can pronounce it as one syllable, blessed or blessed, either one. It is, of course, the same word translated in the last verse of the previous psalm, happy. We get our word blissful from this same root word. And it comes as an exclamation. Many of the Psalms begin with blessed. And I think it is safe to say in each of those instances, it comes as an exclamation. I think Young's literal translation, which is a good resource, one that I recommend, one that I use, usually or maybe always translates these psalms that open this way with this phrase, "Oh, the blessedness." And that captures the exclamation, "Oh, the blessedness of everyone that fears the Lord." Everyone desires to be happy. Everyone desires what this psalm talks about. But not everyone is willing to find happiness the only place it can be found, and that is in God's way and according to God's word. This psalm tells us where true happiness is found. And this very first verse is just an amazing commentary. More than a commentary, it's the formula, if you will. What is implied in the word fearing the Lord involves ultimately everything that God has commanded. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. True happiness, true bliss is to know the Lord, to know Jehovah, to know the God of Holy Scripture, who is the true and living God, the only God. Happiness is to know Him, and not simply to know Him from a distance or to know Him in theory, but to be in a right relationship with Him. That is what the fear of the Lord is all about. It means to know Him and to be in a right relationship with Him, to love Him, to serve Him, to walk with Him, and that's what the last part of the verse talks about, that walketh in His ways. There is a connection here between our heart and our feet. The heart fears the Lord, and the feet walk in His ways. You can tell where the heart is by where the feet are. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. There will be a consistency of walk with those in those that fear the Lord. Mr. Spurgeon said, "Let us cultivate that holy filial fear of Jehovah." And the word filial means childlike. "Let us cultivate that holy filial fear of Jehovah, which is the essence of all true religion, the fear of reverence, of dread to offend, of anxiety to please, and of entire submission and obedience. This fear of the Lord is the fit fountain of holy living. We look in vain for holiness apart from it." No holiness without the fear of the Lord, in other words. "None but those who fear the Lord will ever walk in His ways." And Mr. Spurgeon is right. To the extent that we fear the Lord, we walk in His ways. And God's ways are the right ways. God's way is the best way. Think of these pilgrims approaching the feast in Jerusalem. They're walking along a pathway. To them, that had to be the Lord's way. They were walking literally in the Lord's way. And what they did outwardly and in a physical manner, believers do spiritually and inwardly. We walk in the ways of the Lord because we fear Him. This is the way to happiness. The fear of the Lord is what gives profound purpose and profound meaning and profound fulfillment and satisfaction in life. The fear of the Lord is a foundation upon which all of life can be built and must be built. And without that, there is no chance of true happiness. If you want to be happy, then fear the Lord. Now, the remainder of the psalm gives us what we might call the fruits of fearing the Lord, the benefits of fearing the Lord. Verse 2 says, "For," and that connects with verse 1, "those that fear the Lord and walk in His ways," only it's made personal here, goes from third person to second person, "thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." God-fearing people are hard workers. God-fearing people are industrious. They labor with their hands. And Spurgeon talks about laboring with your mind. He says, some sweat with their hands and some sweat with their minds. And he says it's probably better for you to use your hands than your minds. You'll probably live longer and enjoy better health. Well, whatever the case, God made us to work. And those who fear the Lord know the priority of work. In the Old Testament, earthly prosperity offered some confirmation of walking with God. Those who walked with God had some measure of prosperity under normal circumstances. Now, there were exceptions. You read the book of Job, and there's a man that, though he gained much at the beginning of his life, at some point in the middle of his life, he lost it all. And so if we put that season of Job's experience in view of Psalm 128 and try to make it fit, we have a problem on our hands. So I'm just stating this as a general rule throughout the Old Testament. Earthly prosperity offered some outward confirmation of walking with God. However, also, we read of the ungodly that did sometimes prosper. Think of people like Eli's sons. Well, they had plenty to eat, but it was not in obedience to God, and it was not in the fear of God. Ahab was a king that had wealth and servants and all at his disposal, and yet he was far from being one who feared the Lord. And so even in the Old Testament, we have to be careful not to make a hard and fast prosperity religion, much more in the New Testament. But normally, in the Old Testament especially, those who feared the Lord and walked with Him enjoyed some temporal benefits. It is noteworthy that work, labor, is a gift from God. It is a good thing. It was given to Adam before the fall. It was made more difficult in the curse after the fall. There was the difficulty that came to attend it. But God gave work, labor for Adam in the garden to dress the garden and tend the garden, even in a state of paradise. what we have in this verse reminds me so much of what we see in various places in the book of Ecclesiastes, where under the fear of God and with the fear of God in view, a godly man can labor and enjoy the fruit of his labor, eating. And in an agrarian society, that was a very major part of life and existence every day, laboring to have food. And the joy and the contentment, the happiness that would come as a result of it, that's what we see again and again in the book of Ecclesiastes. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Even under the curse, even with a cursed earth and ground that doesn't cooperate and the toil and the difficulty of that labor, nevertheless, those who fear the Lord find that work enjoyable and rewarding. And that is true, of course, of believers generally, even in the New Testament times. God gives us work to do. And we should find, under the fear of God, and as we follow and fear Him, we should find enjoyment in the occupation and the callings that God has given us, whatever work He has given us to do for that stage of our life. A believer has a perspective on work that an unbeliever cannot have. And he can enjoy his work and the fruits of it, knowing that it comes from the hand of God in a way that an unbeliever simply cannot. And it's interesting, as we think of the Old Testament context, there were times when the people of Israel did not eat the labor of their hands and were not happy. When were those times? Well, when they were under judgment for their national sins, when, as we see again and again in the book of Judges, foreign invaders would come in and steal their crops or destroy their crops, and they were like Gideon trying to just get a little bit of food in secret to survive on. But those were occasions when the fear of God, for the most part, had been lost. These are the blessings for those that fear the Lord. Well, moving on here. Verse 3, those who fear the Lord enjoy domestic bliss. It's not good for a man to be alone. And so God gives him a wife. And for a man who fears the Lord, a godly wife who likewise with him fears the Lord, is an unspeakable blessing. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. And whatever this illustration of the fruitful vine by the side of the house is meant to include, it certainly conveys beauty and peace and usefulness. And we gather from this verse that this God-fearing man and his God-fearing wife are very much homebodies. Their life is geared around their home, their house, their table. It goes on to mention the children there. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. We saw children mentioned in the previous psalm in verses 3 through 5. Let's read those again. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. For those that fear the Lord, children are considered to be a blessing from God and are to be desired. And God normally is pleased to bless that home, that marriage, with children. And I would emphasize here what is said about being gathered around the table. And it's very interesting to see the importance biblically of eating together, meals as a family. I heard of a case fairly recently in Kentucky where a man and a woman who had been married for many, many years, they must have been married close to 50 years, but had not taken their meals together probably for most of those 50 years. And, you know, if he was hungry, he'd go eat. If she was hungry, she'd go eat. He didn't fix food for her. She didn't fix food for him. And I don't need to tell you any more than that. And you know automatically there's something wrong, terribly wrong in that marriage. Table time is very important, probably more important than we think. And you've probably heard some studies, as I have, of I can't remember the numbers and the exact details, but you know, families that eat together stay together. And the example I just gave may be a rare, rare exception. Table time, meal time, should be spent together and profitably. As I read verse 3, I think this is what Norman Rockwell was trying to capture in some of his artwork, you know, of the Thanksgiving feast or whatever. Spurgeon says, "The wife is busy all over the house, but the youngsters are busiest at meal times." Spurgeon had two sons. "And if the blessing of the Lord rest upon the family, no sight can be more delightful." Well, amen to that. But let's move on now to verse 4. "The God-fearing have a perspective that others do not have. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Those who fear the Lord may not live richer than others, but they will most certainly live happier than others. The man that fears the Lord is blessed or happy. What is true of those that don't fear the Lord? Well, oftentimes, and I think we could say even perhaps most of the time, they do not have the same work ethic. They certainly don't have the same motivation, but they have a poorer work ethic. And oftentimes they don't eat the labor of their hands because they waste it on drink and drugs and wasteful, useless things. They're discontented. They're not happy. Their family, if they have one, oftentimes doesn't last very long. And if it does, it becomes more of a source of grief, as the wife is discontented and children are unhappy. Oh, what a sad, sad picture is the man and the family that does not fear the Lord. Well, verse 5 makes this broader connection. Connects the individual family with the whole nation. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. At least one thing to learn from this verse is that strong, stable families in Israel made for a strong, stable Israel, a strong, stable Jerusalem. As went the families, so went the nation, so went the capital city, which was the focus of worship and the capital, the center of worship. And they came to that city on these feast occasions three times a year as the Lord commanded them. Blessings were considered to originate there and to be dispersed to the nation from Jerusalem, from Zion. That was where God met with man on earth. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. The nation was only as healthy as the God-fearing people in it, and God-fearing families in it. And it's always interesting, especially in connection with these songs of degrees, to remember the promise the Lord made back in the book of Exodus after he told them about these three annual feasts. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. And then listen to what he says. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. The Lord says, trust me. You can leave your possessions and go on the pilgrimage as I command you to Jerusalem and sing these songs of degrees. Well, they came later. But he says, you won't have to worry about the safety of your possessions. I will see to it that no foreign powers come and invade and destroy and steal your stuff. Yes, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Those who fear the Lord will provide for. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. And finally, verse 6, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Here is the benefit of fearing God upon another generation, and even a generation beyond that. By the fear of the Lord, a stable, free, prosperous nation could be handed down to the next generation and beyond. Thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Well, let me make just some concluding observations here on this psalm. We must apply this first and foremost, besides individually, the man that feareth the Lord, as far as any broader application to Zion or Jerusalem, that's the local church. We should understand that God-fearing families encourage a stable church that the Lord may be pleased to preserve for another generation. May God grant it. What a blessing that would be. But I want to emphasize, especially here in this psalm, before we conclude, the cause and effect. The cause is the fear of the Lord. All of these other things about enjoying your labor and domestic happiness and prosperity in the broader society, whatever society may be in view, those are effects of fearing God. The fear of the Lord comes first. The fear of the Lord is the pathway to these benefits. And those who seek the benefits by themselves and would bypass the fear of the Lord and just focus on the benefits will never enjoy the benefits. Whatever measure of them that they receive outwardly, they will not even be able to enjoy. They will never be satisfied. They will never be fulfilled. Those who seek the benefits without obeying the Lord, fearing, walking in His ways, are sure to be disappointed. The only way to this happiness, the only way to this blessedness is through fearing the Lord. Make that your priority, and the Lord will take care of these other things. The Lord will take care of the benefits. Now we must say, in light of the New Testament, as we look at a psalm like this from the Old Testament, the greatest blessings are spiritual blessings. And we are repeatedly told in the New Testament to be prepared to suffer for Christ's sake. Now, Psalm 128 doesn't have anything about suffering. It sounds like the prosperity, utopia, everything is wonderful. Yes, Norman Rockwell's America. When we come to the New Testament, the evidence of the fear of the Lord is oftentimes suffering, persecution, affliction, the interruption of earthly peace and prosperity. But even in those seasons, those who fear the Lord experience His grace sufficient, as the Apostle Paul found. Even in the most difficult, extreme circumstances for the cause of Christ, God enables us to be content with our lot, content with whatever measure of enjoyment of labor or family, household, that He sees fit to give us. We should not look for an earthly utopia. That's the error of the prosperity gospel around us today. But we should trust the Lord to give true happiness and contentment as we fear and follow Him. There is no better way to live. There is no better walk to walk than to walk in the Lord's ways. Oh, the blessedness. Oh, the happiness of everyone that fears the Lord. Those who walk in His path have no regrets and would not walk in any other pathway. Let us therefore be thankful to the Lord for the measure of enjoyment and outward peace and prosperity that He gives us. And let us be thankful for the inward contentment, regardless of outward circumstances, that He gives us. Let us endeavor to walk in His ways, to be obedient, and to leave the results to Him. And let's be prayerful. And pray for peace and good upon the Lord's people and the Lord's church here in this place and elsewhere, as we know their needs. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, impress upon us what a privilege it is to fear You, and help us to count our blessings and to enjoy the good things of this earth that You freely give us. But help us to find and to seek to find our truest and deepest happiness in You, in Your salvation, in walking with You. And help us to be prepared to give up any of these outward benefits should Your providence require us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.